and I'm going to be reading Acts 2, verse 14 to 21. Peter addresses the crowd. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs on earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Well, recently, as many of you will know, we've been going through the book of Acts, and it's great to rewind a bit right to the start of the book of Acts for today's service, because as we've been thinking about it, is the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church, when we remember God pouring out his Holy Spirit upon the men and women in that community, and how that dynamic power just changed the world. And so we're going to be looking at the start of the book of Acts, and it's great to be able to share some thoughts with you this morning around that account of Pentecost. Well, I wonder if you've ever faced a challenge in your life that was impossible, or at least that seemed impossible when you set out to achieve it. I know in my life there's been different times where I've tried to achieve things that have just seemed impossible. Well, the truth is, after Jesus' death and resurrection, he appears to his disciples and he sets them a task that appears to be impossible. In Matthew 28, he says this to his disciples. He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And here's the mission impossible bit. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This has become known as the Great Commission, or maybe Commission Impossible, we should kind of call it, because how were they supposed to do that? You know, these were just ordinary women and men like you and me. They made mistakes. We read about those mistakes in the Gospels. They messed up. They got things wrong. They weren't particularly skilled at anything. Yet Jesus says to them, I want you to go and take this message of me all around the world. How are they going to do it? Well, a bit later on, at the start of the book of Acts, Jesus gives them a clue as to how they're going to achieve this mission. In Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus says this to them. He tells them to wait, and he says, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Can you see what Jesus is saying here? Earlier on he said to them, I want you to go and take this message around the world and make disciples. This is how you're going to do it. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you'll be able to do what I've asked you to do. Something interesting here is that this word power that Jesus uses here, in the original Greek, when this was written down, this word power is dynamis. Dynamis. Now, we don't use that word dynamis in our language today, but we do use the word dynamic, and we do use the word dynamite. And the root for both those words is power. And just as something when it's dynamic, it feels like it's explosive, or when dynamite literally explodes, that's the kind of word that Jesus was using here. You're going to receive this dynamic, explosive power in your life. In other words, Jesus is saying to them, something's going to happen to you. Something's going to happen to you which will transform you. And this power that's going to come to you by the Holy Spirit is going to enable you to do incredible, world-changing things. Despite your limitations, despite your weaknesses, you're going to be able to take this message all round the world. But they were to wait. And this is where we find them at the start of Acts chapter 2. This is what it says at the start of Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. They're waiting for this power. all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I wonder what that would have been like. An incredible picture. There's a great bit of art that I found that just captures maybe something of the energy, something of what was going on in that room. But the Holy Spirit comes. Chris and Claire, we were watching, we're locked in my office earlier. But Chris and Claire were talking about how the Holy Spirit fell and this wind and this fire came on the men and women. About 120 of them who were waiting for this power to come. And this power is poured out on each of them. In fact, when they went out into the street, it was so powerful, and they were speaking in tongues. People thought, were told that they were drunk. But they're not drunk. What's happened is what Jesus promised would happen. That this dynamis, this power, the Holy Spirit has fallen on all of them and filled them afresh. In fact, it wasn't just Jesus who promised that this was going to happen to God's people. The prophet Joel, much earlier on in the Bible, he prophesied this. He says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. In the reading that Lavina gave us, Peter, the Apostle Peter, quotes exactly these verses from Joel. That God is going to pour out his Spirit on all people. On all people. You see, the truth is God has always been filling people with his Spirit. All through the Old Testament, we see different moments where women and men are full of the Holy Spirit and able to do incredible things. But what happens in the Old Testament is that it's specific people for a specific purpose at a specific time that they're filled with the Spirit. So, for example, one story you may know is Samson, who's been chained up and humiliated by the Philistines. And he calls out to God, and it says, for one last time, God fills Samson with his Holy Spirit. And he's able to destroy the Philistines and to escape from his captivity. But it was for that moment, at that time, and it was just Samson. But what we see happening at Pentecost is that God has started to pour out his Spirit, not just on certain people, but on all people. And this group of ordinary, frightened, inadequate men and women are transformed from the inside out. This ordinary, frightened, inadequate group of men and women are transformed from the inside out. You see, the story of Pentecost is this. We'll flick on one more. It's that lives are transformed by Jesus. That's the truth of what happened at that first Pentecost. Their lives are transformed by Jesus' Spirit. Ordinary people like you and me are able to do incredible things. You know, you remember that challenge that Jesus set them? Go and make disciples of all nations. Well, later on in Acts chapter 2, we hear that 3,000 people, men and women, are added to the church that day. It's incredible. 120 people grows to 3,120 people. How was that happening? Because they were full of God's Holy Spirit. But the truth is, God is still doing this today. The story of Pentecost today is that lives are still being transformed by Jesus. Because he's still pouring out his Spirit on you and I today. You know, when we first become Christians, when we first come to know Jesus, the Bible tells us that God puts his Spirit inside of us. The Bible tells us that it's the Holy Spirit who leads us into truth, who helps us discover who God is and who Jesus is and the difference that he makes to our lives. It also says the Holy Spirit is placed inside of us to mark us out as children of God. This powerful, dynamic Holy Spirit says he or she is one of mine. That's who they are. So when we first come to know God, His Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. But also, there's an ongoing filling of the Holy Spirit too. That it's not just a one-off, that God wants to just say, here's my Spirit, it's inside of you, and that should last you. But God wants to keep on pouring out His Spirit into us as well. In Ephesians 5:18, it says, it's go on being filled with the Spirit. Now there's this present and future tense to that word. Go on being filled with the Spirit. That God wants to keep filling us up. You see, there's a difference between having the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, when we become Christians, we have the Holy Spirit. But God wants to keep on filling us up. I loved this illustration. I don't mind the mess here this morning because I think it's a great illustration, this popcorn, of the difference of having and being filled with the Spirit. You see, when the popcorn is heated, it explodes. It's dynamic. It is that explosive power. And that's what God wants to do in you and I. He doesn't just want us to be a kernel. He wants us to be transformed from the inside out by that dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. It's that ongoing transforming work of God in our lives where he's changing us into something exciting. I'm so glad that God didn't just pick me out, put His Spirit in me and leave me as I am. He wants to keep pouring His Spirit onto me, to keep transforming me, to keep changing me, to keep doing something exciting inside of me that also shows on the outside. You know, it's great when we hear about this happening in people's lives, isn't it? And I want us to just watch a video now because a lady called Claire, who came on our Alpha course in January, has had a dynamic change in her life as the Holy Spirit has been poured out onto her. So watch this interview I did with Claire earlier on this week. Good. Well, thanks, Claire, for agreeing to chat to me. And it's a real privilege to be able to talk to you right now. We've just been talking. You said your internet's lagging a little bit.
It is, I'm afraid. It often out in the sticks.
That's fine. It's authentic, and this is probably how a lot of our conversations with people are happening at the moment. So that's fine. Claire, for anyone who doesn't know you, there might be a few people watching today who have not had the privilege of meeting you yet. Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so I'm Claire Dukes, and I live in Holland-on-Sea, and I came to this area almost 8 years ago, and I was working in the college at Clacton for a while as a learning support. I originally trained as a teacher, and I lived in Hertfordshire for most of my life.
Oh, great.
So, yeah.
Good. So you've been down this way about the same amount of time as I have. Which is
I think so. I think we had that chat. So yes, I think around that time, and I absolutely love it here. I feel really really like this is a place for us to be by the sea and everything. Really enjoy the location. So
brilliant. And you're married and you've got kids and
So I'm married to Jason. He's currently working out in the garden, keeping himself occupied during this lockdown. And mm-hmm. I have two grown up children. I have Laura and Charlie, who have given me two lovely grandsons, and they live in London, and Jack and Audrey, and they live in France, and they're expecting their first child there. Wow. So that's very exciting.
Exciting time. And yeah. Claire, you found yourself on our Alpha course. You weren't part of the church sort of before this, but in January on our Alpha course, you found yourself attending. How did that come about?
Yeah, that's right. So, I've been thinking about doing an Alpha course for a while. I've been looking at them, and I was chatting to my friend Jane, and we were looking at lots of different ones, and they never seemed to be the right thing for whatever reason. We looked at one in Colchester, and there was another one that we were thinking about starting in Elmstead, and I don't actually know how it came about that we ended up on the print and free Alpha, but Jane, I think, emailed you and said, "Have you got space?" And here we were. So. So it was a bit of coercing from both sides, really.
Brilliant. You kind of, yeah, a bit of encouragement from each other and taking courage from each other. Yeah, I like it.
I've heard about it a lot from different sources beforehand, but it's just something that I've been interested in but never really had considered in any sort of proper depth.
Brilliant. And I mean, that first evening when you came to Alpha, I don't know if you can remember that. What thoughts were going through your head? How did you feel walking through the door of Oasis that first night?
Yeah, it was quite a strange thing, and not strange to come into Oasis, obviously, because it's lovely. But it's always difficult to be the new kid, isn't it? So so walking into that, it felt a little bit strange, I have to say. And I do remember coming out afterwards and saying, I really enjoyed the evening, but it's not changing my life. I don't need this. and it was just that kind of that sense that it was a really nice thing to do. And for a lot of the time, I really enjoyed these kind of academic side of thinking about, you know, reading something, having a chat with people and watching the videos and then discussing things in a purely academic way initially.
Mm.
Which was, you know, that's what I thought was going to happen. I was going to do 10 weeks and I'll just carry on my merry way.
Yes. But things began to change. And I know as part of the Alpha course, we have a Holy Spirit away day at the yacht club where we all go on a Saturday. And it's about, I think, about 2/3 of the way through the course. And you had an powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit on that day. Would you tell us a little bit about what happened?
Yeah, I will do. Yes, definitely. So it was a strange time actually, because Jason had been working away a lot and things were quite difficult outside of doing kind of Alpha things, and work wise and all sorts of things were difficult. And that morning, I wasn't able to come to the morning session because Jason had to have a treatment on his back, and he was going away the next day to work. And so it was quite stressful for me. I was thinking, I really haven't got time for this. I don't, you know, I'm going to go because I've promised that I will go. But it's really something I actually didn't want to do. I remember waking up in the morning and thinking, this isn't, you know, what use will this be? I did watch while I was waiting for Jason to come out of his treatment, I watched the two videos that I'd missed in that first session, and was able to come later and join in with the conversation. To my shame, I remember saying to you, we were talking about something and you'd given me a couple of books to read. And I remember saying to you, which book are you going to give me next to convert me? Ha ha. And you said, I'll just wait for God to do that. And I thought, okay, fine. We had our lunch and then Jane had to leave. And so in the afternoon, I sat and I remember watching video. Claire was sat next to me, and that was really nice that we were together watching this. And I just remember you talking about the format and saying, we're going to watch this and then we're going to have some prayers. And I was thinking, what's going to happen here? Kind of, you know, I've been to a few meetings before in churches where I'd been slightly uncomfortable about things that happened. And I was thinking, I don't really want this to happen to me.
Mm.
Anyway, during this time, after we'd watched the video and we started to pray, I remember Claire standing next to me and praying and just saying, I want you to remember that God loves you just as you are. And at that point, I felt very strongly that I had to sit down, because I was worried that if I didn't sit down, that I might be one of those people that I was going to be embarrassed about. Yeah, so yeah. It was quite a strong sensation of power almost inside. And so I sat down, and then I remember there were people circulating, and I was just feeling this feeling and thinking, what on earth's going on here? And then you came to speak to me, and I still wasn't able to stand at that point. And I remember you put your hand on my shoulder, and then you spoke of a picture of a girl sitting on a swing and being really happy and her father pushing her. And it was such a powerful image. It was such a powerful image because of my own experience with my father, but I knew that this was God, my father, almost like the loss of my father bringing me to God. And
wow.
I just had that massive sense of, this is a happy experience. This isn't about rules. This isn't about being miserable. This is actually going to be an amazing thing. And I just remember tears. I just remember crying, but really being happy. And when you finished your prayer, you looked at me and were like, oh, I'm so sorry. And it was like, oh, it's fine. I'm really happy about it. Don't worry. And then that was almost the end of the afternoon. And it was a really surreal experience driving home. And I just remember walking through the door, and Jason said to me, you look happy for the first time I've seen. I'm not an unhappy person, and I'm happy in situations, but he said, you look genuinely happy, full of joy for the first time in a long time. And the extraordinary thing about that whole thing was, I was really dreading him going on the Sunday because we'd seen so little of each other, but actually the Sunday without Jason was so powerful because it really gave me time to consolidate what had happened. And I sat and prayed, I read, I listened to worship songs, And it sounds crazy. If I heard myself saying that a few weeks before, I would have been like, don't be silly, because that's not going to happen. But it was extraordinary. And it wasn't like a lightning bolt. It was just an amazing sensation, like it came from within. It was just a completeness almost.
Yeah.
That something had been missing, and it was like a, you know, a jigsaw puzzle.
It's incredible. Just a real transformational moment for you.
And, really, absolutely.
Of the Holy Spirit coming and filling you and
yeah,
changing you from the inside out. And that begins to make me think, Claire, then, well, what's changed since then? We've been thinking this morning about our lives being transformed by Jesus, how that happened at the first Pentecost and how that still happens for us today. How's your life changed? How have you been transformed from this encounter with God?
So there's just so many things that have changed about just my day to day, really, that I think I just spend so much time at the moment. I think actually, although lockdown's been very challenging, it's been a real blessing to me to be able to have this time to really think about time with God. I literally feel like I talk to God all the time at the moment, and that, you know, if I'm walking, whatever I'm doing, if I'm cooking or anything, it's just such a part of me now that I spend my time speaking with him. And I keep a journal, which my daughter provides, so I'm very grateful to her for thinking about that. It's such been such an important part to really consolidate what's happening for me. And just things like reading the Bible, listening to the Bible, the Nicky Gumbel app, I use that one, and also the Lectio 365. And just the type of music that I listen to, and even the books that I read now, I'm just feel almost like hungry to find out more and to know where my place is in this, you know, what my service can be and what I can actually do to be sort of a better Christian, I suppose, in that sense, yeah, that I want to be the best I can and to hear what God tells me about that and how to do that.
Amazing.
I was chatting before, I had a funny experience yesterday. So for a while, right at the beginning, I found it quite difficult to engage with the Bible. But when I started to read the Psalms, they really moved me, and I really enjoy reading them. And I think they've become quite a big part of my life. And I thought it would be really nice to have a book of Psalms that I could just take out for a walk, or just when I'm sitting somewhere quietly, rather than carrying the Bible around with me all the time. And I couldn't find something suitable. I found it really difficult to find the right thing for me. And yesterday, anyway, I was going through some things in my old bookcase and opened up a cupboard, and this Bible, literally, the Psalms literally fell out and hit me. And it was a gift from my daughter and her husband to my son when he was travelling. But it's wonderful. So now I have my own, and I can take it with me. So
it's great. I love how God provides. You say, I'd love a small book about the Psalms, and then one falls out of the cupboard. quicker than an Amazon delivery.
Definitely. Even by drone.
Yeah. I like it. Claire, it's been great to chat, and thank you so much for sharing your story with us, and it's great to see what you're doing in you, and it's really good. And yeah, as a church, we're going to be, even though we can't kind of physically be with you, we'll be praying for you as you grow. And
thank you. And I can't wait to be able to come and be part of the church, to be honest with you. We managed one trip just before lockdown started, the last
yes,
service. So it was lovely to have seen that. But I feel like I know everyone, but no one knows me. So it's quite funny. <All the videos. laughs>
Claire, thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
See ya.
Bye.
Great. So, let's remind ourselves there's a difference between having the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't we see that in Claire's life? Isn't that a great just a testimony of what God's done in Claire's life? And let's remind ourselves as well that the story of Pentecost is lives transformed by Jesus. Come on. He's doing it in Claire's life, and he can do it in your life and my life too. So just to finish up with, I have a question for you. Don't you want this to happen in your life too? Don't you want that dynamic, explosive power of God to come into your life too? You know, maybe this needs to happen for you for the first time. Maybe you've never asked Jesus into your life and never asked for his Holy Spirit to come and live inside of you. But let me remind you of what it said in the reading that Lavina gave to us earlier on. It says this towards the end, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That can happen for you today. If you want to see your life transformed, if you want to be rescued by God this morning, if you call on the name of Jesus, you will be saved. He'll put his saving power in you and put his spirit inside of you as well. In Acts chapter 2, as Peter explains to that group what they need to do, he says this, he says, you need to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now this word repent literally means to take a U-turn. You know, when you're out in your car, and I'm sure this has happened to you, it's happened to me, and you realise you're going in the wrong direction or you've forgotten something and you need to turn around, you have to do a U-turn and go back and turn around and go back in another direction. There comes a point in our lives when we realise that we're living our lives without God and we need to turn back to him. And literally we can be facing in this direction and we need to turn around and start walking back to God. That's what repent means, to change our minds, to go back to God and receive forgiveness. To say to God, do you know what? I've done things that are wrong. I want your forgiveness in my life. And the great news is that he's in the habit of forgiving. And when we call on him and say, forgive me, I've messed up, he forgives us. And look at this, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's a promise there. It's a promise. It's not you might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It says you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Maybe for some of us today, we need to do that for the first time. And I'm going to pray in a moment and you can pray with me. But for some of us, it's this ongoing being filled by the Spirit. And Pentecost is a great reminder of that. That God wants to fill us afresh with his Spirit every minute, every second of the day. He says this, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. This is for every one of you watching this morning, including those of us who are saved, who know Jesus. He wants to keep pouring his Spirit out on you. And maybe for some of us this morning, we're just feeling dry. We're feeling tired. That following Jesus is feeling like hard work. And a fresh filling of the Spirit is perhaps what you need. Maybe you feel like you're facing an impossible challenge. Something that just feels really hard. Maybe lockdown feels tough right now. How am I going to get through this? God says, I want to pour out my Spirit on all people. I want to fill you afresh. Maybe it's to overcome a weakness in your life or a temptation in your life that you know has got the better of you at the moment. God says, I want to pour out my Spirit on all people and help you with my dynamic power. Maybe it's just the sense you're thinking there must be more to life than this. There must be more to my faith in Jesus than this. And you're thinking that dynamic power sounds pretty good. And allow Jesus to pour out his Spirit on you now, afresh. Let's pray together, shall we? And as we pray, I want to encourage you maybe just to close your eyes as you're sitting there at home or as you're watching this on your device. Maybe also just to hold out your hands. God wants to pour out his Spirit and he wants to know that we accept his Spirit. He's not going to force the Spirit on us. And just holding out our hands is a way of saying, I'm open to this. And let's remind ourselves that those 120 disciples on that first Pentecost were in lockdown. They were all in one room together, frightened, scared of what was going to happen to them. And the Holy Spirit broke through that lockdown and filled them afresh. And God can do the same for us in our lockdown situation as well. So I'm going to pray now. And the first prayer you may want to pray, if you want to ask Jesus into your life for the first time, and if you want him to fill you with this Holy Spirit for the first time. So come, Holy Spirit, would you fall afresh on me now? Jesus, I want to turn to you for the first time. I know that I've done much wrong in my life. I know that I haven't been living my life the way you would want me to. So I repent. I turn to you now and I ask you to forgive me. And I ask you to come and place your Holy Spirit in my life, to lead me into truth and to mark me out as one of yours. So come, Holy Spirit, come. And for the rest of us who would just love a filling of the Holy Spirit now, let's ask him to come and do that, shall we? Let's keep asking. Come, Holy Spirit. Come through lockdown and into my life afresh. I'm tired. I'm weary. I feel drained. I need a fresh filling of you. Bring your dynamic, explosive power into my life afresh. I'm going to leave some quiet now for you just to add your own prayers. Maybe you want to say, yeah, I'm facing a challenge. I'm facing a temptation. I want to know that there's more to life. Just add your own prayers in now. Keep asking, saying, come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, fall afresh on me. Amen.